man couldn't understand why his credit card kept getting declined. Every time he logged into his account, it said he had an outstanding balance. Hi, I'm Rob West. All kidding aside, credit cards are a powerful convenience that can make your life easier or a lot more difficult, depending upon how you use them. I'll talk about that first today, and then it's on to your calls at 800-525-7000. That's 800-525-7000. This is Faith and Finance on American Family Radio. Biblical wisdom for your financial decisions. Okay, so first I want to give a shout out to Faith and Finance contributor Art Rayner for a great article on this topic, Six Essential Practices for Having a Credit Card, and we'll put a link to it in today's show notes. One of the questions a lot of people ask is, how do I get a credit card? It could be for themselves or maybe their teenager or even a friend. How do I get a credit card? But we're almost never asked, how do I use a credit card? So what are the essential practices for using that slip of plastic in your wallet? Well, first is maybe have only one of them. Limit the number of credit cards in your wallet or purse. You can get into a lot of financial trouble with just one credit card. Imagine the damage you can cause with four or five of them. If you must have two, make sure it's for a good reason, like one is personal and the other is for business. Also, do not get a store credit card for any reason. They have ridiculously high interest rates. Bottom line, if you have a fistful of credit cards, you probably have a spending problem. Our second essential practice is never carry a balance. Credit card interest rates are always high, but in the past year, they've gone up considerably due to the Federal Reserve raising rates to curb inflation. Art uses the example of purchasing a furniture suite for $5,000 with a card that charges 20%. Making only the minimum monthly payments of $200, it will take 12 years to pay off the balance, and the real cost, with interest, will be nearly $8,500. So the first time you can't pay off your balance, consider chopping up your card. You won't regret it. Best practice number three, if you're not on a budget, don't use a credit card at all. That makes a lot of sense. If you don't know how much you have to spend, even for essentials like gas, groceries, and clothing, how do you know when to stop buying things? Your credit card certainly won't tell you. At least if you're not on a budget, but you're using cash only, you have to stop when the money runs out. With a credit card, you don't have to stop. You can keep spending your way right into debt. So, no budget? No credit card. Next on the list of essential credit card practices is don't play games with credit cards. That means don't hop from one card to another as you transfer balances to get a low introductory rate. Remember, you're not supposed to carry a balance at all, but if you do, the last thing you want is to keep opening new card accounts. For one thing, there's usually a transfer fee of 3% or more, so you're actually adding to your balance. Plus, if you don't cancel the first card, which a lot of people don't, you might keep using it and end up doubling your debt. So instead of transferring balances, use the snowball method to pay your debt quickly, putting extra money on the smallest balance first. If you have more than $4,000 in credit card debt, contact our friends at ChristianCreditCounselors.org to get on a debt management plan. They'll get your interest rates lowered so you can pay off your debt 80% faster. Okay, essential practice number five, never get cash advances from your credit card. It's probably the most expensive money you'll ever borrow. The average APR on these loans is now just under 25%, and on top of that, the average fee is almost 4%. If you're taking cash advances from your credit card, it should be a wake-up call that you're not doing something right with your finances. You need to learn to live on less than you make so you can save up an emergency fund. If you have money in savings, you'll never need to get a cash advance on your credit card. Okay, here's our last essential practice for having a credit card. Always pay on time. For one thing, you'll get a negative mark on your credit report and lower your credit score if you're 30 days late making a payment. But it will also cost you money. You'll get hit with a late fee, and the card issuer can raise your interest rate just for making a late payment. So put your card's due date on your calendar, or better yet, make your payment, again, in full, the same day your bill comes in the mail. That way, you don't have to worry about forgetting to pay. So, those are the six essential practices for having a credit card. If you follow them carefully, a credit card can be a convenient, useful tool. If you don't, a credit card can quickly become a financial nightmare. All right, your calls are next. 800-525-7000. That's 800-525-7000. We'll be right back.
For American Family Radio, I'm Charles Morris with Haven Ministries, inviting you to anchor your day in God's Word. What is something that virtually every person takes for granted at some point in their lives? Waking up the next morning. How many times have you been talking with a family member and ended the conversation by saying, "See you tomorrow"? We tend to assume that we'll wake up tomorrow. In Psalm 3, David is being chased by his son Absalom. As he rests his head to sleep, he writes these following words, "I lie down and sleep, I wake again, because the Lord sustains me." David didn't take a day for granted. He was relying on his Lord. It's okay to tell our loved ones we'll see them tomorrow, but always remember, it's the Lord who sustains us and allows us to see a new day. Get daily encouragement with Anchor Devotional. Visit getanchor.com.
Are you struggling to fit your faith into your practice as a Christian financial advisor? The Certified Kingdom Advisor designation teaches you a step-by-step process to confidently deliver advice that aligns with Christian values. Discover the skills you need to help your clients make a kingdom impact. Get started today by enrolling in the CKA educational program at kingdomadvisors.com/getcertified. That's kingdomadvisors.com/getcertified.
Washington Watch advances a culture where human life is valued and religious liberty thrives.
Hello, this is Tony Perkins, host of Washington Watch, right here on the American Family Radio Network, inviting you to join us each weekend for the weekend edition of Washington Watch for the latest from our nation's capital on what is happening as it pertains to faith, family, and freedom. You'll hear from policymakers, congressional leaders, and others each day, 4 p.m. Central Time. Be there.
What if buying groceries, gas, or dining out could help change lives? With Christian Community Credit Union's cards that give to missions, you can help spread the gospel, combat human trafficking, and protect vulnerable children with every purchase at no cost to you. Apply for your card today. More information is available at joinchristiancommunity.com. That's joinchristiancommunity.com. The credit union is an underwriter of this ministry. Membership eligibility required.
Hope for Zambia, empowered by Family Legacy, is a ministry providing hope to vulnerable and orphan children in Zambia by investing into their spiritual, intellectual, physical, and emotional growth and well-being. Whether distributing 5 million meals each year to students or empowering them to graduate from high school and go on to pursue post-secondary education, we believe that when you educate a child, you change their world. Go to hopeforzambia.com/faith to transform a life.
Great to have you with us today on Faith and Finance on American Family Radio. I'm Rob West. All right, it's time to take your calls and questions today. We'd love to hear from you. The number 800-525-7000. We've got a couple of lines open, perhaps one for your question today. 800-525-7000. Let's dive in today. We're going to begin in Texas with John. Go ahead, sir.
Yes, sir, Rob. Great to be in touch with you.
Well, thank
you. My wife, about 20 years ago, took out a $100,000 life insurance policy. We just sort of coasted along with it and never paid any premium on it until I discovered recently that she had dumped $32,000 into it up front.
Yeah.
So we would get statements in recent days as to what it cost. This would be a yearly statement. As to what it costs for insurance and then all the other little expenses.
Yes.
So we got notice the other day, each of us got a letter that it's in grace. So theoretically it's expired, but we can get it out of grace within the next 10 days. But and I'm asking them, we are 90 years old, each one of us. Well, I'll be 90 in about a week.
Yes, sir.
She was just 90 2 days ago.
Wow.
So, you know, if I called an insurance company and said, hey, I'm 90 years old, I'd like to get insurance from you, they'd just click, hang up on me, huh?
They might offer you a policy. It'd be pretty expensive, though.
Well, I did burial policy candidates, you know. They said, hey, you know, how about burial policy? And I said, yeah, that's just what I want. Get me into it right now.
Yes, sir.
And then when I tell them 90 years old, they just hang up. But anyway,
the fun you can have when you're 90. I love it.
Hey, Rob, you know, I'm a Christian. In fact, I'm a retired Army chaplain, and I thought that the road would get easier, you know, at the end of life. No, it's getting tougher every day, but there's more joy every day.
Oh,
so
wow.
I just put in that plug. I know where I'm going.
Yes, sir.
I know where I'm going, and it's worth $1 million to me, than the insurance policy. But, you know, my wife and I have talked it over. It's of no value to her because it's on her, and it could come to me or the family.
Yes.
And I have said, no way that we're going to be able to carry it on. And they won't negotiate with me. I said, just give me a ballpark figure at least on how much it would take to continue this policy.
Right.
No, we can't do that until we get it out of grace.
Oh, boy.
$540.
Yeah.
So yes, I say, well, can you bring it down to 25? No, it probably wouldn't be 25. It probably has to be 50 due to the amount of the premium that's already put in it. So, you know, if you figure a good investment doubles every 7 years, and that's doubled three times, and it's worth about $240,000 right now to them somewhere in their inventory.
Yes.
And I just hate to drop the thing totally without getting something out of it.
Mm, yeah. And there's no cash value that's built up at this point, John. No. Is that right?
Zero right now.
Yeah. Okay.
Now, I don't know if that's because it has become, well, for all practical purposes, defunct. I think.
Yeah.
I think.
Well, what happened is she put in that lump sum at the beginning, and there was a mortality expense, the actual cost to carry the insurance based on the actuarial tables, and they were just slowly pulling out the amount that she invested into it to cover the cost of the mortality expense, essentially the premiums.
I didn't realize what was going on, but you're explaining now.
And so now you had that death benefit during that period of time. The challenge is, to your point, to spend $500 only to find out that the premiums to continue it at age 90 is cost prohibitive just doesn't, you know, make much sense, unfortunately.
No, it doesn't calculate. We aren't going to do that.
Yeah.
But if I could reduce it to $25,000 face value and say $100, contribute $150, I don't know as though that would even be close. I'd probably want more than that.
I suspect they would, unfortunately. So as much as I agree with you and you don't like to pay on this for as many years as you have and not have anything to show for it, you can feel good about the fact that you were offsetting a risk that existed during this period of time. Whereas if the Lord were to have called one of you home, the other would have had that to maybe pay off some debt or help to fund expenses, that type of thing. But I think at this point, my recommendation would be, if they're not willing to tell you what those premiums would be, I'd probably drop it. I think that's going to be $500 that I'd rather you keep in your emergency fund and just let this policy go. And I assume you all have the assets to cover burial expenses and your ongoing living expenses.
Yes, we have.
Yeah. So I think you could just look at this as, you know, with any insurance, we're offsetting a risk that exists, whether that's the risk of our home, having a problem, a car accident, or one of us predeceasing the other and then creating a hardship. And so you were paying for that benefit that you didn't have to use by God's grace. And at this point, we let that go and know that you have other assets that will step in and offset this risk that really no longer exists. And so I would probably just let that policy collapse.
Yeah, I figured averaging out, it probably cost us about $100 a month over those 20 years for term insurance.
Yeah, exactly. That's a great way to look at it, John. And I think that's very appropriate. It was a responsible thing to do as a steward, but it's no longer needed. And I think that's the bottom line at this point.
Sure. Okay. Well, you're in agreement with me. I had come to a tentative conclusion, at least. And thank you for your confirmation, Rob.
Well, John, thank you for your testimony of your faith in Jesus and your assurance of the hope of heaven and for your service to our country, sir. We're grateful.
Thank you so much. I appreciate it.
God bless you.
You're doing a great work up there.
Well, thank you, John. Call back anytime. You were a delight to speak to. And, hey, happy birthday to you and your wife. God bless you, John. 800-525-7000. Those conversations, phone calls like that make this a delight to do. Boy, what a pleasure to talk to John today. All right, let's head to Kansas. Jeff, you'll be next on the program, sir. Go ahead.
Good morning. I was listening to your credit card tips, and I liked them. I was very recently because I've really been working on that kind of thing myself recently, and so I wanted to throw out another option if I can. I'm no expert like you are or others are, but I started watching my credit score very, very closely, and I noticed that things I was doing with my credit card was impacting my credit score.
Yeah.
And I finally figured out that these credit cards, a lot of them have these little hidden minimums that if you get over, it starts impacting your score. So if you get over, let's say, 30% of what you're allowed to spend on the card, it hits it negatively. And so I had the rule that you've talked about earlier, and that's pay them off every month. So I just start paying them off every Friday. I just have a little reminder that goes off in my calendar, and I pay them off every Friday.
I love that, because here's the reality, and this is what you've hit on here, Jeff, which is really, I'm glad you brought this up. You know, even if you just pay it off by the due date, the balance as of the end of the cycle is going to be reported to the credit bureau. So even though it goes to zero, it's showing that you owe the amount that's on there at the end of the cycle. And if that's above 30%, that's going to pull your score down. You're exactly right. The only way to avoid that is to pay it off before the end of the cycle. We'll be right back on Faith and Finance.
AFA is no longer dependent on Facebook or YouTube to live stream our original programming. As of now, American Family Radio shows like Today's Issues, The Court, Airing the Addisons, and The Hamilton Corner are streaming live on the AFA streaming app. Independent live streaming is the next step as we come out from among them and separate ourselves unto the Lord. Search AFA Streaming or visit streaming.afa.net to sign up.
We are grateful for support from One Ascent Investments on the Faith and Finance program. They manage a comprehensive suite of value-based investment strategies designed to help Christian investors live aligned with what they value most. One Ascent believes that if your values inspire the way you live, they should also inspire the way you invest. This can be a unique form of worship. More information is available at investments.oneascent.com. That web address is investments.oneascent.com.
Hi, this is Miki Addison. Join me, my husband Will, and our kids for AFA at the Ark. We'll also be joined by Wesley and Walker Wildman and their families as we host a mini conference at the Ark Encounter October 26th and 27th. AFA has reserved a block of rooms at the Marriott Cincinnati Airport Hotel, which will be available at a discounted price. Space is limited. Learn more and register at marriagefamilylife.net. And I hope to see you at the Ark.
We are grateful for support from Sound Mind Investing and the Faith and Finance program. For more than 30 years, they've been helping Christians reach their financial goals with step-by-step guidance for investors at every stage, from those just getting started to those getting ready for retirement. Through scriptural principles and practical suggestions, SMI offers financial wisdom for living well. More information, including the short video webinar on profit and peace of mind, no matter what's happening in the market, is available at soundmindinvesting.org.
American Family Association President Tim Wildman.
Dad was concerned about the direction America was headed, and he was determined to do something about it. Maybe that describes you today. If it does, I want to strongly encourage you to consider a charitable gift annuity to American Family Association Foundation.
Call the AFA Foundation at 800-326-4543, extension 345.
Hey, Greg, I need some advice.
Oh, what's up?
I'm really struggling with finding ways to cut back. With costs going up, especially in healthcare, what do you guys do?
We use CHM, Christian Healthcare Ministries. It's a health cost sharing ministry that's been sharing members' eligible medical bills for over 40 years. Sure helped us stick to our budget. And here's the website, chministries.org. chministries.org.
Thank you for joining us today on Faith and Finance on American Family Radio. I'm Rob West. We're taking your calls and questions today on anything financial. We've got some lines open, and we'd love to hear from you at 800-525-7000. That's right. You can call right now with lines open, 800-525-7000. Here's our approach on this program each day. We want to be hopeful and encouraging, help you as a steward on your journey to be faithful in managing God's money, because that's what we all manage. 100% is God's. The Bible says in Psalms, the earth is the Lord and everything in it. So it all belongs to Him. And therefore, we're stewards or managers of those resources. And the only way a steward can be effective in his or her role is to understand the heart of his or her master. So we go back to Scripture and pull out the big ideas and themes and help you apply those to your daily financial decisions and choices. Let's do that together with whatever you're thinking about. Again, 800-525-7000. Back to the phones we go. Texas is where Esther is located. Esther, thank you for your patience. Go right ahead.
Good morning, Rob. Thank you for taking my call.
Of course.
I fall within your recommended limits for needing long-term care coverage.
Yes, ma'am.
And I was wondering if you could speak to some of the pros and cons of the kind of newer hybrid long-term care life insurance policies versus just a straight long-term care policy.
Yes, I'd be delighted to. And so for the benefit of our audience, you can buy a standalone life long-term care insurance policy that's specifically for that purpose, or you can add it as a rider. So it's an add-on benefit with an additional cost to a whole life policy. To your question here, Esther, as to the pros and cons, there's a convenience factor just by, you know, merging these policies into one. It can be more cost effective only if you were already planning to have a whole life policy. If you weren't and you're specifically buying the whole life policy just to get the long-term care insurance, well, then it's going to be more expensive than just buying the pure long-term care insurance. But if you are planning to have one, or you already do have one and you were going to add it, that's where you could have some cost-effective savings. The downside is, going back to the cost for a second, it can increase the premium significantly. Again, it tends to be more expensive than if you were to buy just a pure standalone LTC policy. There's also limited coverage. So you just need to be aware that the coverage offered by a long-term care insurance rider on a whole life insurance policy is often going to have some limitations. There may be caps on the daily or monthly benefit amount. There may be a waiting period that's a little bit longer before it kicks in than a standalone policy. There might be restrictions on the types of even care that's covered. So you really need to review that carefully and just understand that a pure long-term care insurance policy is going to have a bit more in the way of customizations for you to get exactly the cost that you're looking for, for that policy, or not the cost, but the features that you're looking for that policy. And then with regard to the whole life policy itself, by allocating a portion of the premium to that long-term care rider, you're of course going to have less cash value accumulation in your whole life insurance policy. So that's going to impact the growth potential of your policy's cash value over time. So I think at the end of the day, you do need to probably get some advice from a financial advisor just to look at your overall financial picture and determine, you know, what the best direction is for you. Often what I will recommend is that you handle your life insurance through a term policy while you're accumulating outside of insurance products for your retirement assets, and then just add this straight long-term care insurance policy where you're just paying for the expense based on the tables of what it will take to offset that particular coverage, and not continue to fund as a part of that this expensive whole life policy, for the rest of your life, especially if you don't need it because you've already accumulated other assets that will really cover your other living expenses beyond long-term care for the rest of your life. Does that all make sense, though?
It does. So the ones where you, say, take the large chunk of assets, the $80,000 to $100,000 for a single person, pay that up front, and then the hybrid says, okay, you have so much available for long-term care, and if you don't use that, then when you pass, life insurance would come back at this amount to your
beneficiary.
Your beneficiary. I'm sorry. Yeah. So that still is still better to go just simply with a long-term care policy if you don't feel like you need that whole life.
I think that's right, because there is a mortality expense built in there for the full death benefit. And you're right, as you use that long-term care insurance, or if you need it, it will chip away at that death benefit and erode what will ultimately be available for your beneficiaries. But I would just question whether or not you need that full death benefit, you know, in the event you don't need the long-term care insurance. And if you don't, then I'd rather you pay just for the straight cost of the long-term care insurance, which is going to be less than, you know, paying the mortality expense plus the ability for the long-term care on the full death benefit that's available through the policy.
Okay. All right. Yeah. That answers my question. Thank you so very much.
Okay, Esther, thank you for calling today. We appreciate it. God bless you. 800-525-7000. Looks like we have two lines open today. We'd love to hear from you. Let's head to Texas. Paul, you'll be next on the program, sir. Go ahead.
Yeah, hey, I listen to you guys whenever I get a chance to, and I love your program.
Well, thank you.
Got a question about, you were talking about debt, particularly credit card debt earlier. But, you know, I am an accountant, okay?
All right.
But I started my life with the spiritual aspect of the borrower is the slave of the lender.
Yes, sir.
And I'm thinking, heck no, I'm not going to go there. And then I end up getting into business, okay? And what I find is, or what my attitude now is, if we got an asset and I can partner with the bank, they provide the cash, I provide the work, we generate revenue.
Hey, let me interrupt you, Paul. I hate to do this. I've got to take a break, but I want to hear what you have to say. So you stay right there. We'll finish up on the other side. We'll be right back.
Do you feel like your hands are tied with debt, preventing you from serving God? If you have credit card debt, Christian credit counselors can help. Through our debt management program, we can get you out of credit card debt about 80% faster while honoring your debt in full. For more information on how Christian credit counselors can help, visit ChristianCreditCounselors.org. That's ChristianCreditCounselors.org. Or call 800-557-1985. 800-557-1985.
Are you completely sold out to God? Here's Pastor Jeff Shreve with From His Heart Ministries.
God knows if your heart is wholly devoted to Him or not. Now, wouldn't it be cool and exciting if you had a heart that's passionate, that's in love and on fire for Jesus Christ?
Learn how to give Him your all and gain everything that really matters. Join Pastor Jeff Shreve on From His Heart, weeknights at 6 Central here on American Family Radio.
We are grateful for support from Eventide Investments on the Faith and Finance program. Eventide's approach to values-based investing is grounded in the belief that humankind was created in the image of God, with intrinsic dignity, value, and worth. Eventide calls this investing that makes the world rejoice. More information is available at EventideInvestments.com. That's EventideInvestments.com.
God has entrusted His finances to you, and we at FaithFi have designed our FaithFi app to help you live, give, owe, and grow with that perspective. Our FaithFi app is the leading biblically-based finance app. You can manage your money, get top biblical financial resources, and interact with a community of like-minded believers, where you can ask questions, get answers, and share what you're learning. Go to faithfi.com and click the word app to get started.
Hi, this is Todd Nettleton with the Voice of the Martyrs Radio, inviting you to the Hearts of Fire virtual event on July 14th. This is a one-of-a-kind virtual event that highlights stories from persecuted Christians around the world. This event will benefit the global body of Christ and inspire you in your own walk of faith. Hear from four persecuted Christians, plus join in worship along with Michael W. Smith. To register as an individual or host this event at your church, visit heartsevent.com.
As the leading advocate for the Christian financial industry, Kingdom Advisors serves the public by promoting the integration of a biblical worldview across every aspect of the financial services industry. And we serve a growing network of thousands of Christian financial professionals, equipping and empowering them to carry biblical financial wisdom to their clients, peers, and community. For more information, visit KingdomAdvisors.com. That's KingdomAdvisors.com.
This is American Family Radio, a listener-supported ministry of the American Family Association.
Well, it's great to have you with us today on Faith and Finance on American Family Radio. We've got some lines open, 800-525-7000. Just before the break, we were talking to Paul in Texas. Paul was saying he's an accountant. He started out his financial life as an adult with a firm understanding of what Proverbs 22:7 says, and that is the rich rules over the poor and the borrower is slave of the lender. And that was rolling around in his mind. And then he went into business. And Paul, you were sharing that perhaps you had some other ideas once you were a business owner. Pick up where you left off.
Well, I mean, what I learned in business school, land, labor, capital, and the entrepreneur is how the economy works, or how a modern economy works.
Yes, sir.
Okay. And so you have to have an entrepreneur, which is me, trying to make business affairs work that generate money, but you have to have capital.
Yeah.
And I don't have enough money to buy a ton of stuff out of my pocket. And so the thing is, the way I saw it, or the way I came to see it, is that so if I take a mortgage on a piece of property and I'm making it pay a monthly rent, by the way, I'm also able to provide a home for somebody and witness to them and be part of their life, which is part of what I like to do, actually.
I love that. Yeah.
But nevertheless, if the whole thing goes south, I mean, I thought if my county turned into a smoking hole in the ground, my assets are in trouble, aren't they?
Yeah.
Anyway, in that case, the way I saw it is I don't have to be a slave. If this thing goes south and it won't pay, I just let them take the property back.
That's
and
right.
Walk away.
That's right.
And so I was just curious as to what kind of comments you might have about that approach.
Yeah. Well, I think you're exactly right. And so we need to heed the warnings in Scripture that are plain. And that is starting with this idea that we just said in Proverbs 22:7, is that when a lender-borrower relationship changes the relationship, and it's a slave-master relationship. And so although borrowing is not a sin in Scripture, there are clear warnings throughout Scripture around the use of debt. So how do we approach it then? Well, I think there's some rules for borrowing that really get at the heart of what you were just saying, starting with the idea that because borrowing always mortgages the future, there needs to be an economic return that's greater than the economic cost whenever we're borrowing.
Exactly.
And that would exactly be the case with the situation you're describing. We're buying an appreciating asset, not a car or dinner last night, you know, that's depreciating.
Right.
But That's right. We're buying an appreciating asset, so the economic return, at least based on everything we know at the purchase, is going to be greater than the economic cost. Number two, never presume upon the future. So there needs to be a guaranteed way to repay what's borrowed. Well, in your case, there is. You'd sell the property, or they'd take it from you and satisfy the loan. Number three, recognize God gave you a spouse to complete you, not to frustrate you, and therefore spouses must be in complete agreement before you borrow. And then number four, never deny God an opportunity to provide, and therefore there should be no other alternatives. But if we apply those four principles or ideas, economic return greater than the economic cost, guaranteed way to repay, spouses in agreement, and no other alternatives, then I think we've at least put ourselves in a position to use debt in a way that's appropriate. And I would add to that, let's seek to get out of debt over our lives so that ultimately, when it's appropriate, we're completely unencumbered. And at that point, we'll be most free to follow the leading in the Lord and whatever he calls us to.
What I'm looking at here is I'm 67.
Yes, sir.
And I anticipate having everything paid completely off within about the next year.
Wow.
And, okay. And then if we have to, I'm reserving the right to hire a management agency for total manage, what do they call it, mailbox money.
Yeah.
Okay. If it's fully paid for, I can pay 10% off the top for to get the mailbox money. We don't have to do anything, but I love it. You know, like I said, it's a ministry for me to provide homes for people, even if they have pets.
Yes, sir. Well, I love your approach here, Paul. I think you're doing it exactly right. I think you are heeding the warnings that are in Scripture and yet still using debt responsibly to be able to build your assets, also using those as a platform for ministry, which is phenomenal. And you're going to be debt-free here in the next year or so, which is incredible. So I would affirm everything you're doing, and I think you know what you're describing is the right way to go about this.
Well, I just wanted a second opinion, and I'll listen anytime I get a chance to, okay?
Thank you, sir. Hey, God bless you, Paul. We appreciate you being on the program, my friend. 800-525-7000, quickly to Colorado. Hi, Carla. Thanks for calling. Go ahead.
Hi. Thank you so much for your ministry. I really appreciated your analysis of how to use credit cards wisely.
Well,
and
you.
I had a question because I broke rule number one. I have two credit cards.
Okay.
One has one I use for online shopping. It has a very low credit limit. And the other one I just normally use for everyday use. Both have never accumulated any debt, but I wondered what you thought of the idea.
Yeah, I think that's fine. I mean, I think the key to limit your cards is, number one, it's to keep you out of financial trouble. It's, you know, one less card that has an available limit that, you know, you could just decide on a whim to use and perhaps use beyond what you've budgeted. And so that's always a risk. Number two, it's one other account to keep up with because you really need to monitor them all regularly just to make sure nobody's compromised the account, charged it fraudulently. Number three, just make sure you understand with these low limit credit cards that if you're using it on a regular basis, and as we said to a previous caller, and you're paying it off by the due date, what's being reported to the credit bureau is the balance at the end of the cycle prior to you paying it to zero. And if it's got a low limit, there's a good likelihood that that's pushing your credit utilization for that card up above 30%, and that's going to pull your credit score down. So just understand the implications of that. Now, is that a big deal month to month? No, not really, unless you're, you know, that happens to be the month where you're going out to buy a house or a car and you need to borrow some money and you want to make sure that that score is up in the top tier so you get the most favorable terms. But just be aware that that could be happening, and it's more likely with one of these low limit credit cards that are often made available through the retail stores.
Yes, I understand that. And I mostly use it just as a matter of security because of the exposure online. And yeah. that's why I keep the credit limit low. But yeah, thank you so much for your advice. I really appreciate it.
Well, you're welcome. And I don't have any problem with the you breaking rule number one and the way you're doing it. It sounds like you're handling things pretty responsibly. So thanks for calling and checking with us, Carla. We appreciate it. George, we're going to be coming your way after the break, and room for maybe one or two more questions at 800-525-7000. Also, we did hear from a caller. Jackie was asking how those cashback credit cards work. She wasn't able to hold. Essentially, Jackie, one of the ways these credit card companies make money is through a merchant rebate. They get a portion of every transaction. They're just passing that along to you in hopes that you'll use their card, eventually run up a balance, and they can charge you interest and late fees. So they're not coming out of pocket. They're just giving you a portion of that merchant rebate. We'll be right back. Stay with us.
For many people, evangelism is a daunting prospect. Join Alistair Begg as he looks at some of the common barriers that keep us from sharing our faith and provides practical suggestions for dealing with challenging questions and difficult attitudes. That's our focus this week on Truth for Life with Alistair Begg.
Truth for Life, weekday mornings at 11:30 Central on AFR and online at afr.net.
Archaeologists in Israel discovered what is believed to be the biblical city of Sodom. They found scientific evidence of an apocalyptic event. Melted rooftops, disintegrated pottery, and patterns in rock formations associated with intense heat. The Bible says God judged Sodom with fire for their sexual immorality, making them an example to the world. Science and the Bible are warning us, but are we listening? I'm Pastor John Miller. Visit me at churchontherock.org.
Absolutely free. We know you've learned to be suspicious of those words, but really, you can get biblical financial wisdom delivered to your inbox each week absolutely free. Articles, videos, podcasts, and special offers on biblical resources. Nearly 60,000 people receive our free weekly wisdom email, and you can too. Create your free FaithFi account by going to faithfi.com and click sign up to begin receiving weekly wisdom in your inbox.
We are grateful for support from Sound Mind Investing in the Faith and Finance program. If you have money in a retirement account or just a general investing account, you know the stock market can sometimes seem like a roller coaster. But it is possible to enjoy both profit and peace of mind in investing, no matter what's happening in the market. You can see a short video webinar on that topic at soundmindinvesting.org. Since 1990, Sound Mind Investing has sought to offer financial wisdom for living well. Soundmindinvesting.org.
So glad to have you with us today on Faith and Finance on American Family Radio. Hey, before we head back to the phones, if you're a part of the Faith and Finance community, perhaps you listen to this program with regularity and you've found some benefit, or you just want to help us support our work in reaching more and more people with the message of God's financial wisdom. Well, you can do that by making a gift to our ministry. We are listener supported. This is a not-for-profit ministry, and we rely on listener support to do what we do. And now more than ever, as we head toward our June the 30th end of fiscal year. That's right. The end of our ministry year happens in just about 10 days as we head toward June the 30th. And if you'd like to support our work, it would go a long way to helping us close our gap of about $40,000 that we're looking for over the next 10 days and prepare us for another year of ministry service. To give any amount, and we mean that, if it's $40 or $400 or $4,000, whatever you can do, we'd be grateful. Just head to our website, faithfi.com. That's faithfi.com. And then just click the give button. Again, faithfi.com. Just click give. Thanks in advance. All right, let's round out the program today with as many calls as we can get to. We'll head to Texas again. A lot of calls from Texas today. Hi, George. Go ahead, sir.
Hey, how's it going, sir?
Great. Thanks. Go ahead.
So I need your help. Me and my wife and I, we have three kids. We have incurred a lot of debt. We've broken the rules, having a lot of our stuff, trying to build up flyer miles, etc., and we've overspent a lot, bought a house and stuff like that. So my issue with it is we're trying to get rid of our debt. I'm about to incur about 10 grand more due to COVID. We lived in California at the time, and I was a hairstyling teacher at an academy, and we were laid off and hired laid off multiple times. And so they have said I am now going to be over. I was overpaid, and I got to owe them $10,000, unfortunately.
Oh my goodness.
We were looking into doing maybe like debt consolidation, possibly. We didn't really want to, but bankruptcy or like a HELOC loan. But I don't think we have enough home equity. And I was just kind of wondering what you think would be the best. If I don't really understand debt consolidation, if I'm giving my debt to another company and they're negotiating and then it still looks bad on my credit, or...
Yeah. All right. Let's dive into this. What I think you're describing there on the tail end is what's called debt settlement, but we can get into that in a moment. First of all, George, let me just say I'm really sorry to hear about the situation you're in. I realize you're taking ownership for part of it. Part of this is just a result of you being in and out of work. And I know going back, you all probably wish you could make some different decisions. And yet here's where we are. So let's try to be wise and faithful as you move forward and just handling what God is entrusting to you, meeting your obligations to the best of your ability and making some changes so that as you get out of debt and ultimately are debt-free, you're in a position where you're living on a balanced budget, managing with discipline what God has entrusted to you. And I know that'll take a lot of pressure off you and your wife. And hopefully just with a plan, you all will feel like you're making some progress here. But I realize this can all be very overwhelming. Give me kind of just a rundown of the debt that you have right now.
So right now we're looking at about $65,000 worth of debt.
Okay. How does that break down? What type of debt?
It's mostly just credit cards. It's all credit cards.
Okay. So $65,000 in credit card debt. Are you making the minimums right now?
Yes. So that's a good thing. We've created a budget. We pulled all of our credit cards from any of like Amazon. We're just sticking to our debit cards right now. I'm able to earn bonuses, so we're putting that towards debt. My wife said she handles all the finances, right now we've already paid about $5,000 off, but
we
got the hiccup from the EDD saying we're going to owe like $10,000, so I don't know.
Are you spending about $2,000 a month in minimum payments?
Yeah, for sure.
Yeah.
Okay. Over that,
but you've got the cash flow to support that, right?
Yes. Yeah.
Okay. All right.
But we thought if we could consolidate that into a lower interest rate, it would go away even faster.
Well, we'll talk about that. What is there an ability to negotiate the payment terms on this $10,000 that you owe?
I don't know yet. It's something because this just happened. We just got the letter. I thought we were going to win it because it wasn't really our fault. But at this point, I still have a lot of digging to do and how that figures out. But I believe you can come up with an agreement.
And who do you owe this to?
The state of California, EDD.
Got it.
Unemployment, I guess.
Yeah, so, they should be willing to work with you. I would definitely reach out to them and negotiate a payment plan, hopefully that fits into this overall budget. I mean, they can't expect you to come out of pocket $10,000 all up front. I mean, they may end up charging you some interest and fees, but the bottom line is you need to get on a payment plan that everybody's agreed to that fits into your budget moving forward. With regard to how to approach the $65,000, I don't like the idea, even if you had the equity, of securing this to your home. This is unsecured debt. If something happened and you were unable to pay, and you were forced into bankruptcy, you could still try to meet this obligation. You won't find the word bankruptcy in the Bible. We do see that there needs to be an absolute commitment to repayment. So if you're forced into that legally, I think that's okay as long as you have that absolute commitment to repay. But attaching that to your home, now all of a sudden you put your home at risk, and I just don't want you to go there, especially in light of the situation. I'm glad to hear you've made the changes. You've got the budget going. You guys are living on cash only. Your wife's managing this. It sounds like that's working well. We just need to get these interest rates down that are now probably on average, more than 16 or even 20%, and that's just killing you.
Yes, sir.
My preferred approach on this is not to take out new debt and pay it off and consolidate it, because even if the interest rate comes down, a lot of times the repayment is extended. Also, it takes the pressure off. And I realize you all may have learned your lesson and say, no, that's not us. But so often what I see is we pay it off with a new loan. It takes the pressure off, and then the credit card debt comes back and we have the consolidation loan on top of it. I also don't like debt settlement where you stop paying and get it into collections and then try to negotiate something that's going to trash your credit. It's just fraught with problems and could end up in lawsuits. So where do you go from here? Well, my preferred approach is debt management. It's a different thing entirely, where you leave the credit cards right where they're at with the current creditor. But by using a debt management program through a nonprofit credit counseling agency, each of these creditors has a credit counseling interest rate that's going to be lower than your current rate. And they'll work with you to get one level monthly payment that you'll pay to them. They distribute it to all of your creditors. And the combination of that level payment plus the reduction in those interest rates is going to have you paying this off 80% faster. So that would be the way that I would go. They'll work with you. They'll get it fixed into your budget and help you understand exactly what this will look like. My friends at ChristianCreditCounselors.org is the place we like to send folks. They've worked with hundreds and hundreds of our listeners. They're all godly folks who have trusted the Lord, and this is part of their ministry, but they do a great work. So that would be my next step for you, George, is to contact ChristianCreditCounselors.org and get set up on a plan. And then if you have other questions along the way, you can certainly reach out to us.
Awesome. You're the man. I appreciate it. I knew you'd have answers, so I really appreciate the help. And long-time listener, first-time caller, so thank you so
awesome.
Much.
Awesome. Well, thank you. And listen, all the best to you, George. You guys can do this. Don't lose heart. And I think once you have a plan, you'll feel a whole lot better. We appreciate you calling today. Let's see, quickly to Mississippi. Hi, Diane. Go ahead.
Hi. I'm 58. My husband's 62. And we have he has a $100,000 term life insurance that ends when he's 70.
Okay.
And that's all we got. And I don't know what to do, if I should continue a different kind of life insurance to cover when we're really, really old.
Yeah. Well, here's the thing. I mean, most often I like the fact that you've got this term policy and it goes all the way through age 70. And if you've built that into your budget, that's great. But typically what would happen is when you reach age 70, you would just let that policy lapse. You don't get anything for it, but you were offsetting the risk that existed during those working years to cover that loss of income if the Lord were to call him home. And so at that point, you just drop that, you recoup that money into your budget every month, and at that point, you're relying on the assets that you've accumulated to both supplement your income in retirement, and if something were to happen to one of you, it's not going to create a hardship because he's probably not working any longer. And therefore, you're living off of Social Security and what you've accumulated. And hopefully, between your assets and in savings, you would have enough to cover burial expenses and things like that. Continuing that policy beyond age 70, Diane, is just going to be really cost prohibitive.
Yeah. So I shouldn't have to worry about getting another one?
I don't think so. I mean, you need to be well planned. But the idea would be that you don't need that insurance anymore. Hopefully you've got the assets to cover your lifestyle and your expenses, no matter whether you die first or he does. And you've got enough to cover burial expenses. And so then life insurance is not necessary at that point. It really is just during those working years where you're saving and building up for retirement. A loss of income during those years would be really create a hardship for the other spouse that survives you or him. But in this case, once you reach age 70, that's no longer the case. So you pay through age 70, but at that point when that premium jumps up, you just let it lapse. You don't replace it. And then you just recoup that money into your budget each month. I hope that helps you, Diane. Hey, thanks for calling today. God bless you. We appreciate it. Well, folks, that's going to do it for us. Again, if you'd like to support our work here at Faith and Finance before June the 30th, it would be a huge help. You could do that at faithfi.com. Just click the Give button. Let me say thanks to my team today. I certainly couldn't do it without them. On behalf of Adam Suddeth, Robert Sutherland and Pat Montague. I'm Rob West, and we're so grateful that you were along with us today as we had another edition of Faith and Finance here on American Family Radio, our amazing partner in bringing you this program each day. Hope you have a great rest of your day. Come back and join us tomorrow. We'll see you then. Bye-bye.
The views and opinions expressed in this broadcast may not necessarily reflect those of the American Family Association or American Family Radio.